If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Exodus, chapter number 33. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, God being my helper. I want to preach on a glimpse of glory. Oh, how our churches around this nation need a glimpse of God's glory. Oh, how my family and I myself need a glimpse of God's glory. Boy, it was good to see souls saved this week and these altars filled every single night. It was powerful. But in the Word of God, there are literally times when the power of God and the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, falls on a church and on individuals so much that they can't even preach and they cannot teach and they cannot sing. All they do is just worship and stand still and watch God. Amen? If you found your place, I want to read out of Exodus 33, beginning to read in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand up on a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Moses got a glimpse of God's glory. Father, I pray this morning that you would touch our voice and you would touch our minds, you would touch our stammering lips and our hearts. And God, you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to preach today. Father, I confess to you, acknowledging openly, I cannot preach on my own. God, it is you that called me. And God, it will be you that will preach through me today. I pray, God, you'd be pleased to do so. God, that you might speak to your people. That somebody here said, boy, revival was good, but I want more. God, that somebody here might say, God, show me thy glory. God, I pray you'd do it for them. Help them, Lord Jesus. Put them in that place that they might have discernment and enlightenment. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You read closely again at verse 18, as Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. There could be no doubt that Moses has many times seen the power of God. We remember that he was on the backside of the desert and he saw a bush burning on fire but not consumed. And a voice spoke to him out of that bush. You may say it's the most far-fetched thing I've ever seen. It's the power of God. And God called him to go and say that I am that I am. He's going to release all the captives from Egypt and let the Israelites go. Moses said, I don't have a good voice. Who am I that I would go? God said, who made your voice? Who formed you? I'll go with you. He told him as he stood before Pharaoh, he said, I want you to throw down your rod. It was Aaron's rod. I want you to throw it down. And when he did, it became a serpent. And he said, pick it back up. And he did, and it became a staff again. You remember how God passed over Egypt, and he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, but all the Israelites that put the blood up on the lintel and the doorpost. That night, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm glad I've got the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to atone for my sin, amen. Thank God when death comes, he'll pass over me, amen, and I'll roll on to glory. I want you to know that that night Pharaoh told Moses, said, you get your people and get out of here. And as Moses and the children of Israel left, the heart of Pharaoh began to change. And he said, I'm going to chase those people back down and bring them back to be slaves back in Egypt. Moses and the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and they could not get across those waters. And with the Egyptians breathing down their neck now and pressing them towards the sea, God said to Moses, tell them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses lifted up that rod up over the Red Sea, and God formed a mighty east wind, and he parted the waters on the left, and he parted the waters on the right. You're talking about seeing the power of God. Moses saw it there, and he dried up even the mud hole in that Red Sea bed there, and the children of Israel crossed over to the other side on dry ground. The Egyptians began to pursue. But as they pursued, as the last Israeli stepped his foot upon the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, God closed down those waters and drowned the whole Egyptian army in those waters. I remember my humanities class in college said, that's no miracle. The Red Sea was only ankle deep at that time. I remember a boy in my class said, praise God, that's pretty good. My humanities teacher said, my professor said, what do you mean? I just dispelled your theory. He said, it's pretty good when God drowned a whole army in ankle-deep water. Amen. You realize at the bottom of the Red Sea right now, there's chariot wheels that have been preserved by the salt in the Red Sea. You remember he smote a rock and water came forth. He fed the people of God with manna. Hey, God has shown Moses the power of God many times. And then up on top of the mountain, God himself took the two tablets of stone and with the finger of Almighty God, he gave the law, the Ten Commandments, to Moses. You talk about seeing the power of God. Moses saw the power of God. You and I, we've experienced the power of God. Can I get a witness? If you're saved today, you know about the power of God. You know about the life-changing ability that God has to forgive your sins and make you clean and change your life. The things you used to hate, now you love. And the things you used to love, now you'd never do. You hate that stuff, amen? You hear old Moses has seen the power of God. But he goes a little further and he says in verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Two parts of the message real quick. First of all, there is the servant's request and there is the sovereign's response. I want us to look under the heading of the servant's request and his ability to entreat deity. That is, he began to pray. Verse 12, he began to acknowledge, he says, thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He said, Lord, you've said that you know me. You said you'd send me grace. Look at verse 13. He says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Preacher, there's that word if. The word if here literally means since. In verse 12, he said, I know you, Moses. I know your name. He spoke to him out of the bush. Moses. He knew his name. They had never been formally introduced, but he knew who Moses was. And he said, I've extended grace to you. You know what grace is? It is the unmerited favor of God. The Bible said that the grace of God hath appeared to all men, every one of us experienced the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. Even if you're a sinner, God's been good to you. He lets you breathe His air, and He allows your heart to beat, pump blood every day. He's given you life, health, and strength, given you a family. That's the very grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And now Moses, as he begins to lead the children of Israel out, he said, you know what, I have found favor with God. What he's saying is not, it's not just if I found grace. What he's saying is, since I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I may know thee. You get what he's saying? Here's what he says, Lord, you know me, and I've experienced your grace. Now I want to know you. Somebody get a hold of that. It's one thing for God to know me, but it's another thing for me to know him. Moses said, I want to know more about you. The grace that I've experienced and the power that I've experienced, the blessings that I've experienced, oh, they're just not enough. I want to know the blesser. I want to know the benefactor. I want to know the creator. I want to know you, Lord. He is entreating deity. He is praying. Look at his intense desire. In verse 13, he says, show me now thy way. You know what he wants? Guidance. He is the leader of 2 million Jews. And you know what he's saying? Lord, I don't know the way. I've never been this way before. How are we going to get into the promised land? The leadership humbly said, I don't know, and I don't have a plan, but I bow myself before you, and I ask you for your guidance. You show me thy way. Not my way, your way. You know what our churches are doing? We're wanting to do our programs, or we're wanting to do it my way and our way. But friend, the best thing we'll ever do in our churches and in our lives is learn to do it his way. Well, preacher, it ain't no fun to do it his way. Let me tell you what. The word of God that we just sang about is true, is right, will help you. God said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. He's not a respecter of persons. But if we'd put him first, if we would acknowledge, Lord, I don't know how, Lord, I can't, Lord, I've made a mess, but God, I give it to you, you watch what he'll do. So he's asking God for guidance. Jeremiah 6:16 says, ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Moses is praying this prayer for guidance because he's burdened for the work of God. How many of you want to work for the Lord? Maybe as a witness or as a teacher or as a singer, that you want to work for the Lord. You're going to need his guidance. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're going to need his guidance. Not only guidance, but he says in verse 14, look how God responds to him. He says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. God made a promise that I'll go with you. He made you and I the same promise. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I found that to be true. Hey, can I get a witness? Has God gone with you every step of the way? You remember back what you used to be and the change he made in your life? Praise God. There's no way you'd be where you are now without him. He's never left you. And honey, he's not going to forsake you now. Look what Moses said. Verse 15. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you don't go with me, I do not want to go. He said, I've been burdened about the work of God, and I want you to know I'm blessed by the word of God. Just to know that whatever I face, you'll go with me, that's a blessing. Well, you ought to say this morning, there's assurance and there's assistance in God going with us. I don't know what you faced this week. Some of you are getting ready to go through tests and trials this week. Some of you have got to go to the doctor. Some of you have got to go to the hospital. And I want to tell you something. When they tell your family and you kiss them goodbye and they've got to go wait in a waiting room over there, and maybe the preacher sits with you or a deacon sits with you and we're over there praying and asking God, let me tell you what, honey, they can't shut God out of that room. He'll go with you when they take your bed and roll you down there to do that surgery or whatever on you. God will go with you every step of the way. Always asking for his intense desire is for guidance, but it's for grace. He said, Lord, I've experienced your grace. I know your grace. But in verse 13, he says, that I may find grace in thy sight. In other words, he said, I've had past grace, I'm living in present grace, and I'm asking God for future grace. God will give you more grace. Grace for grace. Ought to be some of you say, oh God, you've been so good to me. Since I've experienced your grace, I want more of it. Verse 16, he says, wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? He said, you know what, God, because you're with us, that's what separates us from the world. God's grace living in us. Verse 17, the Lord, look what the Lord said to him. He said, I will do this thing also which thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. You want guidance? I'm going to give it to you. You want more grace? I'm going to give it to you. Preacher Darren, is it that simple? Yes. All you got to do is ask him. Just entreat him. Just come before him and say, Lord, I need guidance. I have a job, a career change. I don't know which path to take. I'm in a crossroads in my life. I don't know how to, I'm afraid to go any further. Just ask him. He'll go with you and he'll show you the good way. Just ask him. Let his grace lead you. More than it gets right here in verse 18. He says, I beseech thee, show thee my glory. Now he's not praying anymore. He's pleading. Have you ever got to that point in your life? You know, you praying every day. Praise the Lord. I hope you are. Praying every day. But then some trouble comes and a greater intense desire, a burden comes to your life. And you left praying behind. You went to pleading. The word is beseech. He said, I beseech thee. He didn't say I pray or I entreat thee. He said, I beseech thee. I'm just a begging God. God, would you do something for me? I need something a little extra, something I've not asked for before. Would you show me thy glory? We see the servant's request. He's asked God for guidance, and he's asked him for grace, and he asks him to see his glory. Second of all, how won't you see the Savior's response? Verse number 19, the Lord gives him an immense disclosure. What's this? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. That's what God said. He's asking for blessings and to know the Lord, and the Lord is goodness. His very attributes, he is holiness, he is righteousness, he is justice, he is forgiveness, he is faithfulness, amen. I could go on and on and on about the attributes of God. God said, I'll have all my goodness pass before you. Remember he said there in the Psalms, he said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He said, it's not just going to follow you anymore. It's going to pass before you. Amen. Can I get a witness this morning? Has God been good to you? Amen. And when you get to asking for his glory, he says, I'm just going to let my goodness go, just surround your life, just envelope you. His omniscience, he's all-knowing. His omnipotence, he's all-powerful. His omnipresence, he's ever-present. Then he says, not only am I going to let my goodness pass before you, but he said, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's greatness. I'm going to let my greatness go before you. I'm going to tell you what. My righteousness is filthy rags. Wicked scoundrel. No good. What I know to do right, I don't do that. And what I know not to do, that's what I do. You know, Paul had that problem. We're just a bunch of old flesh, in old flesh scoundrels. The truth be known. I mean, Lord, have mercy. If they was going to put on a projector the sins that we've committed just in the last week, we'd hang our head in shame. But God said, I forgive you sin, and I'm going to go before you. And when I go before you, I'm going to say, here comes my servant. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord that others may fear. The enemy fears the name of the Lord. Read on. He says, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. He's going to let the grace of God go before him. You know what grace is? It's me getting what I do not deserve. That's what it is. It is me getting what I do not deserve. And then he said, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's his gentleness. You know what mercy is? Huh? It's me not getting what I do deserve. I deserve hell, but he didn't give it to me because he gave me mercy. And I don't deserve salvation, but by his grace, He's given me that. The sovereign responds with an immense disclosure. I'm going to allow my goodness and my grace and my gentleness. I'm going to allow my greatness to be all around your life. Are you getting this? I'm talking about the holiness of God surrounding a sinful, a sinner's life. Watch this. This is where it gets really good. An inspired development happens. He said, now Moses, you can't see my face. No man can see me and live. Behold, there is a place by me. He said, you can't see my face, Moses, but I got a place by me. You know where it's at? It's on his right side. He said, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now I got to think about God's in heaven on the throne. Who's seated at his right side? Jesus. He said, there's a place by me that you can stand. And that place is in Christ. Jesus is that solid rock on which you and I can stand. It is Jesus and in Jesus that we can stand by God. I can't stand by in my flesh. I can't stand by in my righteousness. But I can stand by God in Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about where Moses shall stand. He'll stand in Jesus. Read on. He says, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. What Moses, where'd he stand? On the rock. What's he going to sense? He's going to sense the security of God. And you know what else? He's going to be sheltered. God's going to put his hand on his life. He's going to hide him in Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. He's going to hide his life and shelter him from the storms. Some of you have been going through some horrible storms. Some of you say, oh, I've got so much on me, Preacher Darren, it's more than I can take. Some of you ought to get up and say, Lord, would you let me stand in the rock? And would you hide me and shelter me in your hand while your glory passes me by? Hallelujah, you can do that today. And what's Moses going to see? He said, I'm going to take away my hand. And you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Preacher Darren, I'm not satisfied just seeing his backside. Well, you'll have to be satisfied with that. Because if you could see the glory of God, he'd kill you. Our bodies can't take it. But one day when we get to heaven, we're going to see him face to face. I ran across this story. It's really what got me thinking about these verses of Scripture. And it helped me so much, and I hope it'll help you. There was a daddy that took his family to the lake for a vacation. And he had two boys. He had a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old. And they went down to the lake house for daddy to kind of clean it out a little bit and to get the boat out and so they could go out for a day of boating. The daddy got the boat free from the boathouse and tied it up at the end of the dock. He told the 12-year-old to watch the 3-year-old. And while he began to clean some other things up in the boathouse, waiting on the mother to bring the picnic basket down, so they could have a day of picnicking on the lake. Sounds real fun. The 3-year-old decided that he would throw things at his older brother and pick at him like he normally did. The 12-year-old somehow got distracted because he didn't want to play with a 3-year-old throwing things at him anymore. And he got distracted and went back on the shoreline there. And the 3-year-old decided, as he stood up on the edge of the dock, that I'm going to go ahead and get in Daddy's boat. And he put one foot on the boat while the other foot was on the dock. And a wave just happened to come by about that time as a boat had just passed him. And it moved that silver boat. And that little boy, 3 years old, lost his balance and splashed into the water. The 12-year-old realized, that's my younger brother. I was supposed to be watching him, and he screamed, I'm too far away to help him. He says, Daddy, he fell in. Daddy, he fell in. I want you to know that the daddy jumped out of the boathouse, dove into the water, and as he dove in that murky water, muddy water, looking, he couldn't see a thing, just groping, feeling in the darkness. He came back up for air. He could not find his son. He was just completely out of breath, but he said, it's my boy, and he went back after him again, and he went back after him again. He felt of his little arm there holding in about 6 feet of water, holding the edge of the post of that deck, just holding on to it underwater, just holding on for dear life. And the daddy grabbed a hold of him, and he lifted him up out of the water. And after they'd calmed down and everything, and he looked at his boy, and he said, son, why Were you holding onto the post under the water? You could have drowned. He said, Daddy, I was just waiting on you. I was just waiting on you. Story of my life. Living in sin. No way anybody could save me. I had a good mama, good daddy, some good friends, but nobody could do anything but me. But Jesus came into the waters in which I was troubled, and he lifted me there, and he brought me to a safe place, and he gave me new life. He's been good to me. I think about two other brothers. I can't close. I think about two other brothers. They were out on the shoreline there, and they'd been playing, and two brothers, 1 8, 1 10, and the 8-year-old stumbled across a mound of sand, but it was quicksand, and he didn't know it, and his body began to fall in it quickly. His brother saw he was in trouble, and he tried to pull him out, but he couldn't get him, so the brother did the only thing he could do, what he thought would help. He jumped in to help his brother to relieve him from that sand. He tried to push him, and he tried to free him, and, well, in a few hours, both boys were missing. The family got worried, and they called the authorities, and they put out a search, and they found one boy in the quicksand, completely passed out. He was standing at about chest high. They began to pull that quicksand from away from him, scraping and digging it away, and finally, when they got down about his waist or so, the boy woke up and began to scream, and they said, "Where's your brother, son? Where's your older brother?" He said, "I'm standing on him." You see, that older brother gave his life so the younger brother could live, and he was standing on his shoulders. There is a place by me, standing on the rock. Jesus is our older brother. When you and I were caught in the quicksand of sin, and the more we struggled to get free, the worse it became, and we were going to die in that place. But Jesus came to the quicksand, to the pit where I was, and he gave his own life that you and I might stand on his shoulders, that we might stand on his death, burial, and resurrection, that one day we might see his glory. Hallelujah.